And now for your feature presentation. From the team that brought you Cinema Week, the Film Frog Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Film Frog Podcast. It is day four of Cinema Week. Day four. It's pretty exciting. We're halfway through. It's been a lot of work leading up to this point. We've already gone through the opening nights for Lyle Lyle Crocodile and Amsterdam. Saturday was Community Day. Sunday was Family Day. And today, Monday, is Customer Appreciation Day. So, Kara, why don't you tell us maybe some of the cool things we have going on with Cinema Week that we can now finally start to talk about?
Yeah, for sure. So, happy Monday. We are through the weekend of Cinema Week. Had an awesome weekend. Sent some kids to see Lyle Lyle Crocodile. People went to see new movies, old movies. And now that we are into the weekdays, we are very happy to have some exclusive items from our friends at Paramount, who are rallying behind the movie Smile, which held over strong through the weekend, creeped a lot of people out. And now we're on Monday and they are extending Tuesday pricing to today. So participating locations for both today and tomorrow will have their Tuesday discounted pricing for the movie Smile. And then on Wednesday, they're gonna be giving out a collector's print at participating locations. This is a pretty cool 11x17 poster with ticket purchase to Smile. So be sure to grab one of those at your local Cinema Week theater. And then on Thursday, they're going to be giving out an NFT with online or app purchases for Smile at participating locations. So if you are into NFTs, here's your chance to get one with a ticket purchase. And these are all for the movie Smile. So we're pretty excited about these.
And we don't even know what the NFT is. They're even keeping it secret from us. So someone tell me what your NFT looks like when you finally get it. Then tomorrow will be, as Kara said, Super Tuesday, which, you know, most exhibitors offer some sort of discounted rate for tickets, you know, to really support the idea that cinemas are one of the most affordable out of home entertainment experiences that you can currently get involved with. Wednesday is event cinema, so there's plenty of alternative content titles for you to continue checking out. Just make sure you check your local listings for those movies and showtimes. And then we're closing out Cinema Week on Thursday with the premiere of Halloween Ends. We also have a very 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 cool shout out from the one and only Jamie Lee Curtis, who was able to wish all moviegoers Happy Cinema Week, which was really one of the crown jewels in all of the content that Cinema Week was able to create this year.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, as always, Cinema Week has to take a moment to thank all of its very generous sponsors and media partners, one of which being Cineonic. And Brandon, again, had a opportunity to sit down and speak with the CEO of Cineonic, Wim Byams. Why don't we take a little bit of a listen to that episode right now?
Welcome to the Film Frog and Cinema Week podcast. We are here today with Wim from Cineonic. Wim, if you would please introduce yourself, and then we will jump into a great conversation about all the things that you do to celebrate the movie-going experience.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Brandon. So my name is Wim Byams, and I'm the CEO of Cineonic, and that's the company who takes care of everything to do with cinema and cinema technology. And we are a sister company of Barco, right, which is known from his projector technology.
And where is Cineonic based?
Well, you know, we are globally active. So we have a headquarters in Belgium, but we're also very active in the States. By the way, we are California, we are active there, but we're also in Texas, so we have multiple places there. People can find us, but also places like Latin America is for us important. We're also active in Asia. So for us, it's a global world.
Yeah, and today we're here on the podcast. Both of us happen to be in Dallas. We're not in the same room. Right. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about why you're here in Dallas this week.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time traveling and meeting customers, and even post-COVID, if I may say that way, allows us back to travel, so which is always great. And there's multiple customers here. But we also have, we are right now is into our service center. We have a service center in Dallas, which we take care of training of our customers, but also doing repair of projectors and things like that. And that's why I just was visiting here today. But I've been meeting several customers here over the last couple of days here, which has been great, you know, so.
That's amazing. You know, I'd like to thank you again for, you know, being one of the sponsors of Cinema Week. This is our second annual Cinema Week. Cineonic came in, you know, Adam Castles and Sarah Resnikoff were big supporters in bringing you guys into the fold. So, you know, I can't thank you enough. I mean, in the industry, coming from an exhibitor myself, you know, we have a couple theaters throughout the country. And I think activations that bring the industry together and rally the industry are really important. We could not do that without the help of great people like you and companies like Cineonic. You know, we have some other sponsors too, but what really does Cineonic deliver that makes the movie going experience better? And feel free to dive in and get as technical as you want. So this is your moment.
All right, thank you. The you know, it's all about creating an experience where people can relate to and set, you know, wow about, we always like to say, right? So point what I'm getting at is, you know, we say our job is to make sure people come to the movies. Of course, we are a technology company. We're delivering a bunch of technology and bringing that, elevating the movie-going experience. But the goal is in the end that people do not have to think about technology, even I'm going to zoom into in a minute, but that they experience something which they say, well, I cannot get in another place. I cannot get at home. And I can do this as a shared experience. I can do it with my friends, my family, and things like that. So that's a real cinema experience. And definitely, I would say post-COVID, we have seen that people want to see more premium. People want to get more excited. When they go out, they're willing to go out and spend money, but then they want it to be a great experience. And it's the experience starts from, I would say, leaving the door, getting on the parking lot, getting in the lobby, and then in the end, sitting in the chair, and then, you know, when the movie starts. So it's not just only the movie, I would say. The experience, we really have to look at it, the whole experience. Even the digital journey of buying the ticket and so on is also part of the experience. But for us, what's important is to really, when people sit in the chair, how can we help them visually, also from an audio point of view? How can we really make something which is unique, right? And unique means for us, we love to get great light on the screen, right? Light on the screen. Light is an important parameter for people. You know, we talk these days about things like HDR, right? Which is high dynamic range. What we do there is we try to bring higher contrast. So that means that your darks are, or your blacks are darker. And you get with those contrast levels, you get already a little bit of 3D feeling, even though, right, it's not yet with the glasses. And then with light. And then, of course, what's very important coming up the last couple of years, and we're definitely leading in the pack there, is about moving from lamp-based to a laser experience, right? A laser illuminated projector, what does it mean? It means there's no lamp anymore. It is replaced with lasers, reduces dramatically the amount of power consumption up to from 50 to 70% less power consumption for more light, and you get more vivid colors. And so when we talk about brightness, when we talk about contrast ratios, we can do a much better job and colors when we into the when it's with laser light. And so those are things we're very, you know, proud about, we're very engaging with. But it's also about, you know, how can we smoothly get the content from left to right, right? So that's our media server technology. And also then we also have immersive audio, which is, you know, when you look at the full experience, it's important that people get also wowed from an audio point of view, which is a big part of the experience too. So we're helping our customers, being the exhibitors, making choices, what's important to them. And some people say, well, you know, I want to focus on something which is in dining kind of thing. I want to focus on, you know, having recliner seating. Or so every exhibitor has his specialty, the specialty wants to bring. And so with that, then we think, okay, this is a big screen. Okay, we suggest you do ABC. This is a small screen. You know, the distance is like this. So that's our best solution. So we're advising customers in how we can get the best experience for, you know, what the customer, what the exhibitor is looking for, in the end, the moviegoer will experience. So our job is to try to make the exhibitor shine and try to make sure that the moviegoer wants to come back next time, right? Then we have done a good job if we can succeed with that.
That's amazing. So you mentioned a couple things there that I want to unpack a little bit. One, sure. certainly the exhibitors, the moviegoers, and sound. So let's start with, you know, a lot of exhibitors listen to our podcast. Cinema Week is really focused on an exhibitor and movie-going experience. You know, the exhibitor is the core to that. So from an exhibitor standpoint, you know, how do they get involved and how do you really communicate what you guys deliver to an exhibitor and the benefits of that from an exhibitor standpoint?
Well, you know, it starts by knowing your customer, right? So I think that we have the luxury, if I say, by being the last almost 20 years within the business. And so, and also having more than 100,000, you know, projectors installed. So I have a little bit of experience in this field. And so many of the customers also knows our products and our capabilities. So that's helpful, of course. But when we go in, you know, it's a consultancy approach. So we're trying to figure out where does the customer want to go next? Where does the exhibitor want to go next? Is it the price sensitivity? Is it operational efficiency? Is it wowing the customer at you know, on a huge screen? All those things typically needs a different solution. And we can offer, you know, all those ones. So we have a motto in the company where we say, we have a solution, we have a projector solution for every screen, right? Now, if it's small or big, bright or not bright, everything is good. So it's not up to us to say it needs to be bright or doesn't need to be bright. I think it's in the combination with the exhibitor when he says, listen, for this screens, that's for me what I want to achieve. That's the type of experience. Then we tailor to him and say, well, this is how I would advise to do that. And we don't want to overcharge and being a big projector for a small screen. That doesn't make any sense. So we want to make sure that when it's a small screen, we get the projector which fits, and that's typically done a smaller projector with light levels which fits for that. If it's a high gain screen, right? So we need to look at the uniformity. We need to look at, you know, how many, you know, do we have white spots on the screen, right? So we're advising on that and say, well, maybe your brightness should be adapted to that. Or when you want to do 3D, right? And you want to get 3D brightness level going up, then we're also advising what is a good 3D solution and how should we combine that with the gain on the screen, right? So it's the combination of those things. It's not just about the projector, because many of those parameters have quite an impact, right? You know, we go to customers and say, well, that's the brightness I'm looking for from a projector. And then we say, yeah, but what do you want to get on the screen? Because some people, you know, depending on the portal, depending on, you know, the losses you have by getting, well, while you get on the screen kind of thing, or the size of the auditorium, dictates a different approach. And so the good thing is that today I've never had been in a cinema that we've not been able to offer the solution which we think, you know, fits for him. And of course, we have also the broadest range of projector solutions, and all of them today are laser based, but it's that communication, it is that check and balances, I would say, which is important. This is not about just, you know, having a price book and a product and say, you know, how many do you want? Because it is a big investment for the moviegoer, or better, the exhibitor, I would say, and the moviegoer want to get the benefit of that investment. And so we think that we have good ideas on how we believe the moviegoer can appreciate it more. And depending on the auditorium, where we think we can lift that up. And if the exhibitor says, I know exactly what I want, I need this projector and that projector, we are happy too, of course, right? We don't want to force our opinion about that. But if the exhibitor says, well, you know, tell me how I can, you know, get immersive sound here, you know, what speaker layout should I have? And should I have, you know, height speakers there? And what do you think is a good type of speakers to use? Well, then we get involved and advise them on that, or find, you know, which, you know, partners further to work. So I think it is really, you know, in the cinema business, it's our long-term relationships, right? People using our projectors, they love to use them for many, many, many years, right? You know, we used to say in the VPF time, maximum 10 years. We all learned that they're running longer, right, these days. And so, but it's a big investment and we take that very serious. And that means that dialogue and working with our customer, the exhibitors, is important. I want them to feel in the end that they have something which is going to take care of them for the next 10 plus years, whatever it is they have in mind, and that they feel it's going to do the job. And I would say that part of it is, of course, technology and equipment, but it's also, I think, the services or the people behind that, which we can continuously offer worldwide, because when they got an issue, the exhibit, they want to get it fixed right away, right? When it's in the weekend, somebody should be figuring out how to fix it. Or better, we should even tell in advance, we think something potentially going to happen. How can we be, you know, forward-looking on this one? So I think it is more than just the technology or the box or the projector, but it is, I think, the consultative approach, and very much also people who knows the industry connecting with people who are really passionate about this, right?
Yeah, so you know what, I've changed my mind how I'm gonna ask this next question, because you know I want it to be, you know, we're all working at the end of the day to drive more, a bigger audience and more audience, right, more frequently to the movie theater. So I may come back to this instead of just what the benefit is to the moviegoer, but let's talk about ways that the exhibitor can help actually market and message that they do have this technology and they do have the system, that, because at the end of the day, there's so many content options. I can watch it on my phone, my tablet, my laptop, in on the couch. And we're all saying, we want you back in the theater. So if I'm an exhibitor, what are the things that I can say, and what does that messaging look like to really key in to the moviegoer that this is a special experience at my theater?
Yeah, I think that, you know, from my point of view, people watching digital content, because that's in the end what we're talking about, going to do that on any device they like to do it, kind of thing, right? I'm not against that at all. I think that, you know, if people want to watch a movie on an iPhone, on an iPad or whatever, I'm say if that's what you want to do, then do that. But it is not the same experience. And that's for me where the big difference is. If you want to get an experience where you are 2 hours, 1.5 hours dedicated, uninterrupted, watching it, getting in the story, in a big screen, sitting inside of the movie, that emotion that goes across, that I cannot simulate on an iPhone or whatever phone they have, right? So the point is that that's for me what it is. So if people want to consume content, they should do that, of course. But when they go to the movie, they should know that emotional connection we have. And, you know, the movie on top of mind, of course, which did fantastic this year, is Top Gun, of course, right? Top Gun Maverick. But watching that, I had the chance to watching it several times in multiple venues. But it is a movie which it's hard to see how that comes across when I would watch it on a small screen. Even at home on a television, it can be a 100-inch, you know, television. It is still a small screen. You wanna get the vibes. You wanna feel it. You know, in your chair that you know, the they flying over you kind of thing. And you wanna really feel that emotion. And that for me is what we're doing on the big screen. And so the question is, how do you market that? So a couple of things I wanted to remark there. So it is true that we should not take for granted that the moviegoer knows exactly what kind of experience you have, right, as an exhibitor. So you have to communicate that, right? We have to educate. This maybe is over-educating, is maybe too much, but right, but it is a form of education or a form of communication. So when you got a great laser, you know, system, and you got a great immersive sound, talk about it, right? Make sure the consumer knows about it. Make sure the moviegoer knows it, and make sure he knows it before the movie starts, because that is really, because then when he watches it, he has that unconscious in mind. And later on, what we have seen is that customers, moviegoers, appreciate it more when they're watching a special experience. But you have to tell them that special, because they're not all specialists, of course, and they shouldn't be, by the way. They should have a great time and watching a movie, but they do appreciate the technology and they do appreciate the investments which the exhibitor has done if you tell them that in advance. And I think that as an industry, we need to just bear in mind that we do a good job on that, I think, because it's going to pay back, because it's going to differentiate more than watching things at home. And there's so many, I mean, with the size on the screens and with the sound capability, which are two just important parameters, there's so much you can do. But I think focusing on that messaging, I think is probably a key thing to do before the movie starts. You can do it afterwards, but definitely before, or in your cinema complex, wherever, you know, the tools you have to do that, right? But that's also where we're helping with customers to see how can we get some of those messages across? What do you want to do? How is a good way of making the customer feel good about it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these are, well, we'll talk about premium formats in just a second, but, you know, the other thing that you do seems to, you're building a puzzle, because there are movie theaters being built now or renovated now that fewer screens in the building, sometimes fewer seats in the auditorium, especially now.
Right, yes.
So space is a premium, and the consumer, and I think this summer really showed it, is looking for this premium experience. So you're constricted often by what space is available to you to work in, and you may not have had any lead up to work within that space. They just walk you in the building and say, here's the spec.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the premium formats, because that is really, that seems to be over indexing. And we have some big movies coming up in Q4, Black Adam, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Avatar Way of Water, that are really going to lean into what you do, but also beyond, you know, not every movie theater has a premium format, but still can be an immersive experience. So talk a little bit about the differences in those two from your perspective, and how we can, as exhibitors, continue to deliver an elevated experience no matter which auditorium you walk into.
Yeah, so a couple of things, right, which you mentioned, and they're absolutely true. Today, what we've seen, and again, a little bit post-COVID, is that the premium experiences, and premium, by the way, is could be meaning multiple things. For somebody, it's a moving chair. For somebody else, it's multiple screens. For somebody else, it is in-theater dining, right? So premium means different things. It's not always premium just from the visual and the audio presentation. Sometimes it is, but it is what the customer calls premium. So I think you just want to make sure we don't miss on that one. But they are filling first is what we've seen over the last, let's say, year kind of thing. And it has to do for me because we have seen in multiple categories of aging of ages of people, all of them are coming back, right? So in the beginning, there was a little bit this feeling, oh, is the elderly generation going to come back and so on? They're all coming back. So that's what we have seen. And they are willing to spend money. So that's the great news. Now, but when they come back, they want to make sure it is special enough kind of thing. And so that's why premium is doing a great job. But I also want to really make a point that it's not because you have, what should I say, a great theater and you have, you know, really a good connection to your audiences that, and you don't have maybe all the premium settings like somebody else's, that you're not going to attract people, right? I think this is about just setting the right expectation, because being close to a vicinity, you know, a theater, you know, also attracts people to come there, and making sure that it is a very pleasant way of coming in and buying the ticket and things like that is also important. So I really want to, you know, encourage people to make sure that their presentation and their whole experience is really great. You just do not only need to have, you know, a big projector or a big immersive sound system. It's going to help you probably, right? But I really want to say that bringing a great experience is making sure that that you can get people coming to a venue and that it's a great feeling they have. But again, if you have more premium, again, communicate about that and make sure that the customers know about it. And what we have seen is when a customer, maybe they prefer premium, but when they get to the theater, they're going to watch then the movie, right? I think so. So they're going to then select, you know, what is available in that sense. So when people want to see Top Gun, they're going to see Top Gun, right? And they're going to see, okay, maybe I want to see it in this format or that format or that format. But in the end, they will see Top Gun. So I want to, it's important that the movie going experience has to be carried, I think, by many people going, right? This industry strives, and that's what I like very much with this movie, it strives by many people coming, right? And many people can enjoy that. And so not just the ones going to, I would say, an elevated experience and paying, I don't know, $20 for that, but also the one paying 10 or $9 or whatever it is for that. And for them, it is a great experience. That also can feel for them personally premium, because maybe they don't have a chance to go so much to the movie. So I don't want to discourage people to say that only premium works. But yes, it is true that a lot of people say, when I go out, it needs to be special for me. And the thing I'm trying to say is that special means many things. And of course, you know, if you want to say, I want to get more light, I want to get laser, I want to get immersive sound, you know, give me a call and I will help you any day of the week. But if it's about, I'm going to create a great ambiance in my lobby and I'm going to, you know, do certain marketing activities and attracting people, you're also going to do a great job of getting people to your theater, right? So, but it is, yeah, people need to have the feel good when they go to the movies. That I think is very important.
Yeah. And so we've mentioned sound. I'm going to get to laser in a second. So
all right, sure.
I'm going to let laser hang out there for a moment. But last week we were in LA, we heard we had a little focus group of moviegoers.
Yep.
And I think there was 8 or 10 people on the panel, and sound kept coming up. This sound.
Yes.
We know picture quality. Mm-hmm. Seats are important. Dine-in versus traditional. You know, all these things. The moviegoers seem to really react to sound. It is something that you almost can't replicate at home, for sure.
Yep.
We can put a picture on screen. I know it's not as good at home. But talk to me about how sound plays a role into your world, Wim.
Yeah. I mean, so we have adapted around in sound quite a bit. And of course, there's many sound companies around the world. But I think we have come into sound because we felt that the total experience is, of course, visual, but also very much sound. And so what we've seen is it's that combination, right? And it's when you watch a movie and you put the sound off, it feels weird, right? Kind of thing. And so sound is an integral part of the experience. So the moviegoer really get entrenched with, do I like what I've seen? Is partly influenced by the sound. And so we were getting involved because we felt there's an opportunity of what we call creating immersive sound. So the fact that the sound can come from everywhere, right? And that's where we have solutions for, which allows you to really get a feeling that you say, well, you can't replicate at home, but also can be very natural, right? Not just gimmicks going around, but also very natural sound. Even when I would go to a concert, I want to get quality sound. I just don't want to have gimmicks, right? So that is something we've seen. Now, of course, the over the last 5 years, there's been a tremendous uptake of immersive sound. And I'm very happy that right now also with Senti, the standard is out there, right? So there is now a standard on sound because till, you know, a few years ago, you know, it was mixed in a certain format and you can only play back in that format, right? Which is a little bit of industry counterintuitive. So right now there is made a standard, so the immersive sound standard. So that means that you can get your movie in that immersive sound and play it back with whatever system you have. And so that at least allows us many more people to embrace sound. But I think sound is absolutely an integral part, and it does not have to be that expensive, right? I mean, you can really elevate it by having, bringing immersive sound in. I mean, you know, the 5.1, of course, is the standard one, but the 7.1, and then being able to get multi layers of speakers and you know, what they call the voice of God, right? Above your head speakers, those kind of things allows you to really being immersed into that. So I would say when people think about a premium experience, don't forget sound, I would say, right? Make sure sound is part of that, but make sure that sound is also integrated in your system. We can get very affordable systems going to immersive sound. It's not like you have to, it doesn't have to be an impossible equation. Of course, the size of the room decides, of course, on some of the investments, right? That's true. I will need more speakers typically when the size is bigger. But if it's about quality sound, there are some other parameters with a good sound processor and things like that, which really, I think, can influence it a lot. But you're absolutely right. The moviegoer gets strongly influenced about how the sound, how good the sound is. And I think that many of the, when we talk about wow, it doesn't have to be loud, right? Just to make it clear, but it has to sound great. And you have to get what happens in the movie, that has to get to you, right? That emotional connection has to be there. And sound is a very emotional aspect. And so that's, So I'm 100% with you that don't forget to invest in the right sound solution, yeah?
Yeah, and I think from a moviegoer standpoint, you know, and you mentioned it earlier, and something we don't talk about as an industry enough, the no distractions thing is really important.
Absolutely.
And everything you do does play into that. I think sound is one of those that if I've got to lean in, what did he say? Or did I miss something? Like the sound is such a part that draws you in and brings that experience to you. So
yeah.
I think that's amazing that you guys are investing in that. So let's really talk about what's coming up, what you guys are really into right now and what's really coming up. And I've heard it in some initial conversations that Adam and I have had over the last couple months, and you've mentioned it a few times here, and that is the Almighty Laser. So walk us through where that is in development and how that's coming into theaters and how it makes the experience better for the moviegoer.
Yeah, happy to. So laser started for us many, many years ago, right? Our first laser projector hitting the market, and you need to develop it a couple of years before that, was 2014, right? And so it means that we have quite a history with laser. I mean, at the moment, I think there's more than 30,000 Barco laser projectors, which are out there, right, globally in the world. So it's definitely not the beginning, but it means there's been quite some knowledge about it. There's quite some iteration about it. And I think our generation today is really optimized to making sure that we have a laser solution for the type of projector you have, right? So there is different technologies about laser. You can go what we call RGB, right? Laser, which means you use the three colors, red, blue, and green. And those colors, you have different lasers, different wavelengths, and then together you're creating white light, and that white light gets projected on what we call our digital mirrors, which is the Texas Instruments DMDs. And then at the end, we get to a picture, right? Make a little bit of shortcut here. But so the lasers here allows you to do that. So that's one way. So there's another way of laser technology, which is using what we call use a phosphor wheel, right? So where you use blue laser and you play back on the phosphor wheel. And then in that sense, you can create the white light, right? Now you can put assists on red lasers in there and green lasers to get some more light. So multiple variations are there. It's a solution which gets used, is the most optimal for smaller type of projectors typically, right? For lesser lighting. But you can choose, right? So as an exhibitor today, you have a choice. And also there we're guiding our customers about what they think makes sense for them, right? The type of lasers. But you do that in construct of what is the lifetime I want to run my projector kind of thing? How many hours I do a year? And so you make that calculation, and then with that you say, okay, that's for me the right solution to have. And also, of course, the other thing is what is the brightness I want to get on my screen? So like I said, with laser, we get more vivid colors. We can definitely help by creating, a picture which people will feel that it's more saturated colors, I would say, right? And we can create more brightness. And the thing which is, I think, and the last, I would say, year has been tremendously improved is, and not because of the electricity prices going up, but is the fact that economically, there's a tremendously gain, right? So as a company, we also are very proud of making sure that we take care of the planet, right, where we can. And so having lamps, which, by the way, you it's special lamps, like xenon lamps, right, which it's hard to dispose and things like that, and have materials in there which has to be specially broken down and things like that. When we go to laser, we have a much more natural product. So on one hand, we're helping the planet with that, but also the saving on electricity from 50% to 70% is tremendous. And that, of course, is a byproduct for the exhibitor, very important, right? The moviegoer doesn't feel that, but for the exhibitor, it's very important. And for the moviegoer, it is exactly the outcome there. So if I want to do, I spoke before, an HDR, with laser, I can do a much better job on that, right? If I want to do a high dynamic range picture, I mean, I will use a laser projector to do that, because with that, I can push the boundaries much further. So I don't have to produce that heat, which typically a lamp does. So we don't have to cool the booth so much. So the air conditioning could be at the lower grade and things like that. So all gains, I would say, of making that transition trivial. So today, I would say there is almost nobody who is not, when he considers a projector, thinking about a laser projector. Now, there are customers also who say, hey, we want to maybe upgrade my existing projectors, right? So we also have a solution there. If somebody says the quickest way to laser is upgrading it and changing the lamp module to a laser module. And we've been marking that now for many years. But right now we see definitely some customers really being interested, or I would say even hybrid, right? The combination of, okay, laser projectors, new ones on one hand, the ones especially which are older, and some, I still have some good projectors here. Can I upgrade those? So again, what we're trying to do is making sure that from a budgetary point of view, of coming up with the most economical solution which fits for the customer, right? And so, and then in the end, make sure they have the benefit electricity-wise or on that one, on the air conditioning, but on the other hand, that your consumer feels, hey, I'm seeing the latest technology on the screen. And so, and don't forget to communicate it to your customers or your audience, right? Your moviegoer, that he knows that he's got a laser projector, which is giving him this fantastic treat of the movie. So that's really for us a very important one. And there's new technologies coming on laser too, because laser allows us to do new things too in the future. And also there, there's definitely more to come. But laser, that may be the thing I wanted to close with, it's a mature technology, right? So when I say 2014 was our first projector out with laser, if you see what happened in the meantime, it is a mature technology. And it is at a price point that it is very affordable compared to, of course, 7-8 years ago, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. So One, I love the commitment to the environment. I think that's important. The more we can do as an industry, because we do produce a lot of waste. We're driving millions of people into a venue. So if we as exhibitors can do something about that, that's great. So what about the durability? Because you're right. When we're using lamps, they fade over time. They're not as bright. I mean, exhibitors get called out on that all the time. The picture's not as bright. But also the projectors themselves, do you find that there's more durability, more life in the projector when you go to laser?
No, it is. So if you think about a lamp, right, it depends on the most used lamps are typically 3,000 to 4,000 kilowatt bulbs, right? Xeno lamps. And depends on the 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 hours a year you would, you know, shine your projector. You have to replace them, I would say, you know, 3 to 5 times, right, a year. So it depends on. So with laser, you don't have to change it at all. The laser should go the whole lifetime of the projector, right? So that makes the whole bulb replacement procedure. And remember that with bulbs, you know, you start with a bright projector, and then the bulb goes to 50% brightness, and then you put a new one in. So you constantly get a variation of the brightness. So we brought in a concept called CLO, which is constant light output. And with that, we try to be as constant as possible with the bulbs. But with laser, that's a much easier thing, right? So you get a much more consistent output because it doesn't go down. Of course, it goes long-term, it goes a little bit down, of course, right? Because it's aging, but it's a much slower pace. And so it can do the full lifetime of the projector. And that, of course, means that there is less maintenance needs on a laser projector than we traditionally had with the bulb projector. So that's definitely also a gain. But I think lifetime, I mean, it all depends, right? If you want to get massive amount of light on the screen, you're going to burn your lasers faster, right? If you say, well, you know, that's why the dimensioning of the projector is so important. We got a team specialized in calculators on this, right? With all the different parameters you need to think about a cinema to recommend to the customer the right projector. So it's typically not the marketing brochure which says the right thing, but you definitely have to, you know, talk with a specialist, and he will make that calculation for you and say, with that projector, we can do that lifetime. And that the customer knows what he's buying, right? That he knows in advance, okay, I want this, okay, fine, then that's what you have. And so you have to dimension the projector correctly to that, but it can do the lifetime of the projector, the laser, yes, today.
That's amazing. Well, you know, as a moviegoer, I would certainly say go find the best experience for these great movies that are coming out, whether it's, you know, a horror film or a big action film, superhero movie, or it's a date night or family film. Find the most immersive experience with no distractions, immersive sound and picture in the type of environment you want. And as exhibitors, I would challenge exhibitors to make sure that we are communicating with our guests the type of experience we're going to deliver. And we're not just delivering the movie, we're delivering all these other things that make this experience great. So, you know, we need to, as an industry, do a great job of that. Wim, I really do, like I said, appreciate you being on and taking some time out today to talk with us about Cinema Week. I'm gonna run through a couple of things about Cinema Week while we have you for the last few minutes. And again, thank you for your generous sponsorship of the event for the industry. So, you know, along with Cineonic, we have Dolby, Spotlight Cinema Network, Theater Toolkit, Venue Valet, Christie, Vista, and GDC, all as participating sponsors. And then we do have our supporters and partners, the Independent Cinema Alliance, the Box Office Company and Box Office Pro, Variety, Letterboxd, Celluloid Junkie, Atom Tickets, Fandango, Fathom, Iconics, Cinelife, Pouster, Trailered, Spotlight Cinema Networks, NCM, Screen Vision, Movico, The Hangar, and the Dine-In Summit are all big supporters of our event. And where Cinema Week really wins this year, we're doing some great things and exhibitors are participating in different ways. But the most important thing, there's a ton of content from October 7th through October the 13th, starting with Lyle Crocodile from Sony, Amsterdam from 20th Century, Tar from Focus Features, and then the week wraps up with Universal's Halloween Ends. We'll also have a great promotion from Paramount for the film Smile. And then there's event cinema all week long. Billy Joel live from Yankee Stadium, The Retaliators, Terrifier 2, A Silent Voice, and even a special 25th anniversary of Scream 2. Several exhibitors are doing unlimited popcorn throughout the week. But the thing that I'm most proud of this year is we are doing a community day, and we are sending, our goal is to send 10,000 underserved kids to go see the movie La La Crocodile for free. Exhibitors are paying for that opportunity and bringing those kids in. But we really want to create this opportunity where more moviegoers and people who otherwise wouldn't be able to come to the theater. So this community day has been really important. And Wim, you've helped bring that to life. So I will wrap up by saying thank you. We really appreciated it. And we will look forward to this Cinema Week and Cinema Week many years to come.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Brandon, for doing this great initiative. And we're happy to be part of that, right? Thank you.